Well, I have a hot word to share with you tonight, so get your Bibles out. Woo! Turn, if you would, to Psalms 136. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Psalms 136, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And so just because he thought they might not have heard it the first time, he said it again. "Oh, give thanks it didn't say this time, the Lord, go give thanks to God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders." Okay, here we're going to read this. Let's have some fun here. We're going to have some fun here. Okay, y'all's job is to read, "And his mercy endures forever." All right, y'all with me? Okay, I'm in verse 4. "To him who alone does great wonders, and to him by wisdom made the heavens, and to him who laid out the earth above the waters, for him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon and stars to rule by night." You kind of get the thinking in this psalm that they're really trying to get everybody to understand that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. 26 verses, and every time he says it. Right? And it was a song or a praise of thanksgiving for people to do just exactly what you did. There was a statement made about God, and then it says, "And his mercy endures forever." Say it again. They didn't say, "Because our God's mighty and strong and can do anything." Right? They didn't say, "Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." They made a point to say, "God's mercy endures forever." Now, let's think about mercy here for a minute. What truly is mercy? Think about it. Wouldn't mercy be that you have the right or the power to bring the other person under subjection, but you don't do it? Be mercy, wouldn't it? Think about this, about what the word mercy means. You don't ever have to pray, "God, I need your mercy." After I want to show you this tonight, because his mercy endures forever. If God was going to fry you, he'd have fried you a long time ago. God was going to smoke me, I'd have been smoked a long time ago, okay? So you might as well just get out of your head. There ain't no frying going on. Right? It amazes me how God is a God of unbelievable, absolute, miraculous mercy, and human beings, we are absolutely have no grace for anything. Hello? I heard the other day in Houston that a guy killed another man because of the song that he sang at the karaoke machine, you know. Got in a fight over it. He sang "Somos Americanos." Means we're more American. And they didn't like it and shot him and killed him. I thought to myself, now that's just cutting it pretty low in life. He just sang a song, and maybe he was a really bad singer, but, you know, still. Y'all with me? Not an ounce of mercy, not an ounce of grace come out of human beings, but God says his mercy endures forever. Right? Folks, I'm telling you, when you wake up in the morning, no matter how bad you may think you are, God's mercy endures forever over you. No matter how bad you think you've done, no matter how much is gone on, no matter what tormenting thought may be in your mind, well, you should have done this, you should have done that, you could have been better, you could have done this. Listen to me. That is the judgment of the devil and the judgment of man upon you. Y'all hear me? That's the judgment of man and the judgment of the devil upon you. The Bible says God's mercy endures every day, every moment, every second upon you. When he looks at you, yeah, he could fry you, but he isn't going to because his mercy endures forever. Okay, I don't think y'all believe me. Go over to the book of Lamentations. If you don't know where this is, find the book of Jeremiah. Go a little bit further towards the front, and you'll come across the book of Lamentations. It means the lamentings, right? The cryings, the not the whinings, but the brokenness of Jeremiah's heart, what he lamented and prayed. Now you gotta understand. These Old Testament prophets, you know, they're mighty men of God. They had communion with God and talk with him, but you know what? They weren't under the blood of Jesus. Listen to me, they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't new creatures. But they were men in their day that had tapped into the power and the presence of God. God honored them and blessed them and anointed them to do their job. And Jeremiah gets the as far as I'm concerned, the only prophet that got it worse than Jeremiah was Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel said, I preached all of my life and not one person converted. That's tough. He said, Lord, their heads are like flint. And I said, Lord, is that here? No. Jeremiah, he was seeing the whole decay of everything go down. He was seeing all the glory, the temple of Jerusalem, all the glory that had been there, all the things that happened, being corrupted by kings, being corrupted by everything that was going on. Kind of reminds you of things happening nowadays, huh? And so he was seeing the downfall of the kingdom of Israel. And he was seeing the kings take over, and he was seeing all of that, and he was in prison, and he was tortured. These were his lamentings. And if you start in chapter 3 and you read verse 1 down to verse 22, it's all about, he's just saying, man, I mean, we have seen it. We have seen it bad. It has been terrible. It is hard. It's tough, man. It's been this. It's been that. And then he comes up in verse 22. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Folks, I want to tell you something. This is what the world's missing. They don't realize that God has mercy upon every soul. And everybody always says, God has mercy on drunks and fools, but he has on everybody. Y'all with me? His mercy is fresh and new every day. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. God wants to be with you through the thick and the thin, and all he wants you to do is hope in him. He never promised that things were going to be easy. He never promised that it was going to be, you know, just a bed of roses to walk in. He didn't say that some men were going to get to walk an easier life than others. He didn't promise anybody nothing. But the one thing Jeremiah got hold of, he said, listen, man, I am telling you, the mercies of the Lord are fresh and new every morning. When I wake up in the morning, no matter how discouraged I am tonight, when I wake up in the morning, it's a brand new day full of the mercies and the glory of God coming my direction. I don't know where in the world people come up with the theology that God forsakes people. It says right here, it's fresh and new every morning. And if I'm going to listen to somebody, I'm going to listen to Jeremiah versus Yehu. And yeah, his friend, his distant cousin, Johan. Y'all with me? I don't want to listen to them. I don't want to know what they got to say. I don't want to listen to their garbage and their junk and use my ears for garbage cans. I don't want to hear all that stuff. I want to know what the Word of God says. And if his Word says it's fresh and new every morning, you know, then bless God, it is fresh and new every morning. And God has grace and mercy towards us, and he wants us to succeed. And he wants us to overcome. And he wants us to walk in victory. He just wants us to keep our hope in him. Not in man, not in our abilities, not in our strength, not in our knowledge, not in any of that. Our hope in him. Listen, you've got to come to the place in life where you figure out you can't do it. The greatest place of strength is on your knees. The greatest place of strength is prayer. Stopping and saying, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand why things are going like they are, but I just know this, man. I got my hope and I got my trust in you. I'll go down like that, folks. I'm going to stand up and you know, wave the banner, and I'm going to say, look, I don't know. Everybody's always saying, well, what? Well, if God was this, he would really be doing this, and he would do that. No, I don't know. I just know my hope, my trust in God. And I've had people argue with me and say, well, what about this and what about that? I don't know about that. All I can tell you is I know what the Word says, and I know the Word's right. I know that we may be working things wrong and walking in things wrong and seeing things wrong, but I know the Word's right. Without this, man, without the Word, you got nothing to stand on. You take that away and say, well, listen, you know, it was a good book, and it was no, but then we don't really need that. You got nothing to stand on. What are you going to do? I want the opinion of man or some other guy? Skip, what's the guy's name, the physicist that's in the wheelchair? And Hawking? Stephen Hawking. Hawking? I saw an article on him that, you know, it's a bad article, you know, but whatever, I'm going to just blow it. He's a big atheist, right? It's all into all the you know, whatever. And, you know, it says that he frequents strip clubs. That's a big deal for him. He likes to go frequent high-end strip clubs. And I thought, well, you're stuck in a wheelchair and you don't believe in God. I guess, you know, the best throw you can get. Ain't going to be good where you're going. You might as well, you know. I mean, you ought to wake up. Stupid. Are y'all with me here? That's all man can turn to. That's the best man can come up with. He's supposed to be smart. He ain't too smart. Are y'all with me? I mean, that's like saying, oh, you're a genius here and you're an ignoramus over here. Y'all with me? All I'm saying is man isn't going to offer you anything that's going to really make a hill of beans. And if you take the Word out of the equation, you got nothing to stand on. But if you take Jeremiah's word and say, well, I don't know, Jeremiah, he had it rough. They stuck Jeremiah in a pit. Okay? It was full of water. I mean, he literally was like on his tiptoes in water to keep from drowning forever. And then finally they pulled him out, gave him some bread and water, throwed him back in there again. And what's he saying? The whole time he's bobbing. Lord, I know your mercy endures forever. That's amazing. Okay? That's amazing. His mercy endures forever. Y'all with me? Go to the book of Romans. Let me show you this. Book of Romans, chapter 8. Familiar passage? Let me show you something, though. Romans chapter 8, let's start reading I'm going to step off subject for a second. Look at verse 18. He says, the Apostle Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in Jesus. Is that what it says? No? In who? Wait a minute. It's going to be revealed in us? You mean that everything you're going through now, when you get to the other side, is going to be you're going to be filled full of glory? He didn't say, he does not say, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in some of us. You know what's funny about it's not funny, ha-ha, it's just funny, coincidental, that the devil, if he can't get you to quit, what he'll do is just to get you to think you're going to come in fourth or fifth. In other words, you're going to get to heaven, but you're just going to barely get to the gate. Y'all with me? Because his job is to keep you discouraged. And so what he'll do is he'll come in there and he'll say, you know, well, Darlene, you know, you've been doing pretty good, but you ain't doing that good. And, you know, it's a wonder you're even going to make it in or whatever. You know what? Y'all with me? Because he wants to discourage you. He wants you to say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a very good Christian. And if he can get you from being a very good Christian to, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it Christian, then he's gaining ground. But when you wake up every morning and say, Lord, I just thank you. Just think about how he's defeated. When you wake up every morning and say, Lord, I just thank you that all your mercies are fresh and new towards me this morning. Lord, I'm walking out fresh, brand new, and clean this morning. All of heaven is for you. Sickness coming upon your body, all of heaven is for you to get healed. I don't care how many Yehus and Johans are out there telling you nothing happen. All of heaven is behind you. I would sure rather, if I had to go choose somebody to side up against, I'd rather have all of heaven on my side, right? Than whatever this world could muster. I just wish sometimes that God would just like flick the switch, you know, like just, and then like everybody would see everything that's in heaven just. I believe where we go. Right? I mean, to see the innumerable multitude of angels, just see a herd of big warring angels. I guess they're in herds, packs, legions. Y'all with me? A whole flock of angels. There you go. I mean, a whole flock of those big warring angels. You got to understand something. Now I'm getting off subject again. Y'all get me back straight here in a minute, okay? But just think about this. You ever thought about angels? Go study sometimes. Just read the Bible. Just go get you a concordance or get you something to pick out. Every word that talks about angels and just read about it, okay? You talk about angels. Angels are created beings. We always get the idea, and I don't know where that comes about, these little old short, fat, dumpy guys. You know, that's really a misrepresentation. I don't think they're happy to get represented like that. They don't like that. But when you start talking about angels, they're created beings, all right? They only are created and they only serve God. They're not like you. They don't have free will. Now, the devil made a choice to do what he did. But just think about this. They can't even understand how you don't understand how great God is. On the same token, they can't understand how you can be down and beat down and rise up and say, and the mercies of the Lord are fresh and new every morning. They can't understand that because they're not created like you are. To see an angel, you know, always remind everybody of the one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. That's a bunch of people. Y'all with me? You don't mess with them. Right? But yet they don't understand how you can have faith when everything's down, but then they can't understand also how everything in the world, everybody just can't, because all they've ever done for eternity is worship God. Y'all with me? Now think about this. God's whole soul focus, and I'm using this because it says fresh and new in the morning, so morning, I mean it's morning somewhere, right? But let's just say in the morning. God's whole soul purpose, let's just say 6 a.m., all right, is all focused towards you for you to prosper and walk in blessings that day. To walk in health, to walk in everything he prompts you for the word. Then what gives Johan and Yehu the right to go try to drag you down, get you off what the word of God says? There's always going to be people that are going to point out all the wrong things. I'd stand around when you're singing the mercies of the Lord are fresh and new every morning, and they're saying, who are you that you think that even God likes you? That he forgives your sins as far as the east is from the west? You ever think about this? Okay, if you go from the north to the south, right? You go from the North Pole, you start walking towards the North Pole. When you crossed over the top of the side, you're eventually going to be walking south. Right? But if you go from the east to the west, you're always going east. You never go west. Right? Go up over the top, you're going to be walking south. You go from the east to the west, you're always going east. So God says, I remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, because the east can't meet the west. It can't go where it's going. You don't go east, and then all of a sudden now you're going west. You get it? So he forgives your sin so far that, I mean, you know, it can't ever, there's no limit to it. Well, I've, you know, asked God so many times, I don't think he'll forgive me this time. What? How could that be scriptural? If the east can't meet the west, keeps going around a circle, and that's how much he forgives you, whatever he needs to go around, then how in the world could, who's to tell me, well, you've done wrong, you've done too bad, you made the... Right? For I consider the sufferings of this present time not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wow. Amazing things are waiting. 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What are the things? Things. I just love it that he said that. What are we going to say to these things? Things. If God be for me, who can be against me? It's not wrong in life to talk to things. I think the only time you have to worry about it is when you start talking to yourself and then you're answering yourself. I think that's when it starts getting over the line or something like that. I don't know. But to talk to things, to talk to obstacles, to talk to problems, to talk to issues, it's not wrong. Matter of fact, you're supposed to say something to things. Things. God be for me, who in the world is going to be against me? It's like understanding that you walk with, it says, the Bible says, the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, right? So I have goodness and mercy following me. Two angels or whatever. Two big warring angels. One's named Goodness, another's named Mercy. He follows me all the time, everywhere I go. Goodness and mercy. You don't want to, you know, if you want to mess with goodness or mercy. I went to a Benny Hinn concert one time, not a concert, a Benny Hinn, that's a Benny Goodman concert. Crusade, excuse me. A Benny Hinn crusade one time, and there was the two largest bodyguards I'd ever seen in my entire life. They both of them had to be close 7 foot tall. I mean, they were huge. And one of them was black and one of them was white. And I just kind of chuckled to myself. I said, I just want to walk on this ask. I said, are you goodness and you mercy, or is it the other way around? Follow me all the days of my life. Okay. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Wow. He says, man, who has the nerve to come up and bring anything to the charge of God's elect? That's you he's talking about. It's God who justifies. Listen to me, I'm not living my life based upon what man's doctrine dictates to me. I'm living my life by what the Word of God dictates, because that's who I have to answer to. Don't get to heaven and then have to face Jesus and he says, I always justified you. You're like, really? I thought I was hindered because of this or that. So what are you talking about? Who shall bring anything to the charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. And who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's praying for you. Jesus interceding for you? Wow. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died, and furthermore, even risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword? Nakedness, now that's bad. If you're down to just nakedness, like you're stripped of everything, you got nothing left, no clothes to put on, and you're down to nakedness, he says, I mean, that's pretty rough. You lost everything and just down to nakedness. He's trying to say, listen, there's nothing that's going to separate you from it if you're looking for his goodness and mercy every day. If your hope is in him, you'll never be disappointed. For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't tell me God doesn't love me. Don't tell me that there's no forgiveness. Don't tell me that his mercy is not fresh and new every morning. Y'all with me? You know, your mind can think some crazy things. Y'all with me? I remember one time I read the book of Revelation when I was first saved, and I got concerned that I might have to be one of the 144,000. Until I got enough sense to read that they were Jewish males who were virgins. And I said, well, that ain't going to work. I was already married and had two kids. I said, this ain't happening. I'm not Jewish. Huh. Okay, well, that's not it. But I got that thought in my head. Worried me. It's like the time I got really worried that after I'd read the Bible that God was going to send me to Ethiopia. I just got it in my head. I saw one of those pictures of starving kids over there where they had the knocking the flies off, you know, and I just got it in my head, just worried me. God was going to just, if I gave him my heart and my soul, that he was going to send me to Ethiopia. That's where I was going to go be a missionary in Ethiopia. Man, that looks rough, Lord. Got worried about it, just went out there, got worried about it. Never forget, walked outside one night, clear night, and stars were shining, and I looked up at it, and it was as if God was standing right there in my front yard. He said, what would you tell them you don't know anything? I was like, Lord, how could I go to Ethiopia? I don't know nothing. I didn't even got through to read the Bible. I don't know nothing. What in the world could I tell them? Thank you, Lord. I know I'm not going to Ethiopia right now. Yeah, I went to Utopia instead. But y'all with me, you know, your mind can just do just crazy things to you and make you think all kinds of stuff. And then if you get Yehu and Johan, you're throwing some coals on the fire too. It just gets you to believe in all kinds of stupid things, right? That are not true. That God is for you, he's not against you. That you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that his mercies are fresh and new every morning. That the steadfast mercy of the Lord endure forever. His compassion fails not. He's not going to finally say, I've had enough, Jim, no more. Right? I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad I don't have to go to God. He's like, Robert, how many times are we going to have to go over this? Because I said, humans, we got no mercy, but we can't compare human with God. Let's read again. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. Now see, death nor life. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Nothing, folks. You cannot, I'm just telling you, just realize if you think God's mad at you, it's all the devil putting that thought in your head. If you think God's not pleased with you, it's the devil. That's a lie. Yehu and Yoham been speaking to you. Because I'm telling you what the Word says. And I have total confidence to believe that the Word is true. And it's what we've got to hang on to in life. That God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. Amen? So look at that person beside you and say, hey, you got it made.